Dry throat, so I apologize. Oops, but I have a very dry throat, so I apologize if I end up, breaking up while I'm speaking here today. Let's bow and pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. We know that you've promised to be with those who are gathered in your name. And we look forward to your presence to guide us as we would read your word, as you would teach us, as you really taught us this morning. May we be willing listeners, hearers, and followers of your word. Not of my word, but of your word. May we do what you have called us to do. We thank you for, again, everyone here. We pray for those who are on Zoom that are unable to come also. Watch over us all because we all trust in you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So as has already been stated, it's the last Sunday of 2024. Wednesday is the first day of 2025. We are starting the end of the first quarter of the 21st century. Let that sink in a little bit, okay? And if I inherited my Hildenbrand genes or Cheryl her Cray genes, we might even live to the end of the second quarter, 2050. We'll be in our late 90s if we do. That's a funny thought. Very few that are here could live to the 22nd century, 75 years away. How would you rate 2024 on a scale of 1 to 10? Was it an 8 or 9, a very good year? Things went well, a good year at work, a good year at school, good family relationships, successful surgeries, hand, etc. New treatments that show promise, the birth of a grandchild, things went well. Or was 2024 a 5? Just an average year. The same schedule, day after day after day after day. Was 2024 a 2 out of 10? A very difficult year. Tragedy, sickness, suffering, a death in the family. Sometimes that happens. What kind of person were you in 2024? Are there any regrets on how you lived 2024? If you had to redo 2024, would you do anything different? Made better choices? Be more understanding? Be more caring? Be more patient? Be more supportive? Be more helpful? Be less critical? How about your relationship with God? Did it grow in 2024? Or was it just status quo? No better, no worse than in previous years. How about your Bible study? Do you know more of the Scripture today than you did on January 1st of 2024? Our text for today comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, what is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of the God of heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the word world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all the epistles are speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I just finished reading a book called Mark's Story. Yeah, I thought it wasn't working. I just finished reading a book called Mark's Story. It's a fictional account of how Mark met and worked with the apostles, especially Peter. Many believe that Peter was the source of all of Mark's information about Jesus. Peter told Mark about Jesus and all the different things that Peter experienced. Mark wrote them down, and that's how we got the Gospel of Mark. And Mark worked with Peter for many years in Rome before Peter was martyred. And that, during that time while Peter was in Rome, he also wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. And here in 2nd Peter, Peter was warning the church about scoffers, false prophets that would come, and they would turn the church away from following Jesus, implying that Jesus was not coming back. And Jesus warned the church, Peter warned the church, that Jesus would return. And it's not based on man's concept of time. It's been thousands of years since Jesus came. And obviously, when Peter wrote this, it was just dozens of years since Jesus had died and had not returned. And now it's been over 2,000 years. But as Peter says here in verse 8, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. So in a sense, it's been 2 days since Jesus died. We don't know if Jesus will return in 2025 or in 2125. All we do know is that we must all be ready. And Peter wrote here that Jesus had not returned because God is patient in allowing more people to turn from their sinful ways into fellowship with the Lord Jesus. But I want to focus on verse 18. for this last Sunday of 2024. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter here instructs the believers to do two things, grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Let's look at the second part first. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What kind of knowledge is Peter writing about? There is both head knowledge and heart knowledge. And many people have extensive head knowledge of Jesus. I've told this story before. It's actually happened. When I was a freshman in college, I took a class called the English Bible. And the professor was an expert in the Bible. He knew it from the beginning to the end. But it was all head knowledge. To him, it was literature. It didn't contain truth. It just contained stories that were good stories, and he especially enjoyed the King James Version because it just flowed so nicely. And he taught it no different than if you would teach a lesson on Shakespeare. It was just nice, flowing words. Near the end of that quarter, one of the students who was involved in campus ministry at the school went to the professor and asked, could he take one of the classes and present the gospel? I don't know if the professor had ever had that happen to him before, but he said, yes, you can. And so a few days later, that student got up and presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus was born, what Jesus taught, what Jesus did, how Jesus died, how Jesus rose again, where Jesus is now, and the responsibility for every person to repent and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That was the best class of all the lessons we had. What was the difference between how the professors taught the Bible and how that student taught the Bible? The professor, it was all head knowledge. For that student, it was heart knowledge. He had taken the information that he read in the Bibles and applied it to his life. And that's why he was able to say what he said. We all need to have head knowledge of the scriptures. That has to happen, no doubt about it. But that student had heart knowledge. He allowed the facts of scripture to impact his life. And we need that too. We need head knowledge and we need heart knowledge. And what we really truly need is transformational knowledge, or the transformation of that head knowledge into heart knowledge. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is so easy to be conformed to this world. It requires little effort or thought to be conformed to this world. It comes naturally to everyone. But these verses tell us, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by having our minds renewed. That means to allow the Holy Spirit to work within you and me and change us from the inside out. We need to allow that Holy Spirit to guide us every day in our daily walk and in our daily Bible study. How many times have you read the scriptures and something you've read dozens of times, and then the Holy Spirit reveals a new insight into those same words that you've read so many times? That's because these are not just words on a page. This is a living word. It's God-inspired words that were written down many years ago because they contain the truth. My prayer is that we are not content with coming to church and through a Bible class, Bible study on Wednesday night, or a Sunday morning service, and that's the only time we open our Bibles. We should never be content with that. How do we gain Bible knowledge? Real simple. Read, read, read. Study, study, study. Pray, pray, pray. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Dwell. The word of Christ should dwell. The word of Christ should have an abode within us. It needs to live inside of us. The more we know the word, the more we can apply it to our daily lives. We need both head knowledge and heart knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18 again, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now the first part of that verse. Grow in grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back in Peter's time, and maybe even today, some were teaching that in order to grow in grace, you should sin more. But Paul refuted that in Romans 6, 1 and 2. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein?" Peter was telling the church that they needed to cultivate a deeper understanding of God's grace. And it was interesting that this was talked about during Bible class this morning, the need to grow and not just sit back. You need to grow. And as I was taking my shower one day, I thought of a hymn that I probably heard in Eastern Camp, Webster Springs, many years ago. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he is multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half gone, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's giving is only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." I think we all know what grace is. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a simple acronym. And we talked about mercy also in Bible class. Mercy from God is Him not giving us what we deserve. We deserve damnation. The lake of fire, as it's described in Revelation. But grace is giving us what we don't deserve. It's eternal life in heaven forever and ever and ever. Do you and I truly understand the grace that is extended to us? We need to take the knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus and apply it to ourselves every single day. We say, Jesus died on the cross for all. We need to personalize that. Jesus died for me. And that's not just something that we say when we were first converted. It's something that we should remind ourselves every single day. Jesus' blood washes away sins. Jesus' blood washes away my sin. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus forgives my sin. There's nothing that man can do to earn salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. I think we really need to personalize the grace that has been given unto us as a reminder every day that woe is me, I'm undone if we don't have that grace. And all of that is based on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because I know this, and it's heart knowledge, I also know that I am saved and I have eternal life now. There are some that teach you will have eternal life. No. The scripture teaches that we have eternal life now. We can have that with a relationship with Jesus Christ. My challenge to each of us is to take this verse, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout 2025, read that verse and apply it to yourselves every day. How am I growing in grace in my Lord Jesus Christ today? How am I growing in the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ today? Let's live by that verse. And in order to grow in grace and knowledge, we need to walk with Jesus every hour of every day. And last night, Cheryl reminded me of this song. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's apply that to our lives also, to walk close with our Lord Jesus. Let's close by singing hymn 220 from our hymnal, To Me Free Grace Has Been Accorded, verses 1, 2, 4, and 6. 220, 1, 2, 4, and 6.
Now. a life of sorrow, a life of despair, to a life of joy, a life of having a vision of hope for eternity, a life of being a child of yours, adopted in, grafted in to your family, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the love that you have showered upon us and shown us and done this by dying on the cross for us, rising again, and sending your Spirit, Lord. We praise you and thank you for your love for us, for your compassion, for your grace, and pray that we would live our lives daily aware of that grace that has been given to us, and then seeing how we need to be transformed and grow in it and made more and more like you. Build our relationship with you, Lord, that you long to have with us, and we so often forego and think there's more important things. Nothing is more important than our relationship with you that will and does last through eternity. And we thank you so much for what you have done to make it possible. We give you praise, honor, and glory for your blessings, Lord, for the blessing of your Son, for the blessing of your Word, for the blessing of salvation, Lord. These things that are timeless for eternity and last and matter more than all else. We thank you now for the time that we have together to read your Word, to study your Word, to hear it expounded upon. And we pray a blessing on that time that we have. We pray a blessing on our lunch meal as well, that we can enjoy together and fellowship around. And just pray a blessing for the rest of this day. And for those who couldn't come as well and aren't feeling well, we pray a blessing and strengthening and healing, Lord. We thank you and praise you, for you are so worthy of all our praise, all our focus, all our adoration. We honor and praise your name and thank you. In Jesus' name.